In the book of Luke, I want to read this very familiar passage of scripture. I hope maybe you've been reading the narratives. And you know, I was thinking about this morning, looking back through a lot of stuff that I've done over the 45 years that I've been pastoring. I know telling how many different varieties of message I guess I've preached in regard to Christmas and that thought. But then I thought about the multiplied thousands, even millions of messages that have been preached from this passage of scripture. On yesterday morning, Brother Barry Barber did our devotion at the Men's Fellowship and did a tremendous job once again. I've heard him share those truths before, and it always thrills my heart. And so many different facets, like a diamond, all of this truth is you can turn it a thousand different ways, and God will show something different to you. And what a wonderful thing these are. So don't think they're normal, commonplace. But if you'll read through them, I'm telling you, God will show you something new every time. In the book of Luke, please, chapter number 2, I begin with verse number 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would give me a touch from heaven. Our Father, we understand that it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. O Holy Ghost of God, I pray you'd fill me. God, take full control of my mental faculties of this body. And I pray, God, we'd hear from heaven this morning. Our Father, I pray, God, that not one thing in me or about me would hinder you being able to say and do just exactly what you want to do. Our Father, there are hungry hearts here before me, here and in the media audience as well. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts, to the needs of those who need encouraging, to those who need blessing. Our Father, for those who need salvation, they'd come to know Christ. And God, I pray again for all of our friends, our Father, who this Christmas season are going through so many low and dark days. God, I'm glad you're the light of the world. I'm glad, God, you can help in those times of darkness. Minister grace to them, encourage their heart, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. During the Christmas season, we have all different types of philosophies and thoughts running. And, of course, there are a lot of people who look at Christmas and they say it's entirely too secularized and it's too much business and too many business things. And all the trappings of Christmas now are pagan and have nothing to do with God. And, of course, you know my opinion of that. I don't pay any attention to any of that. Praise God, they can do what they want to. But it means something different to me. I thank God that He is the light of the world. Thank God for the beautiful lights and decorations. I like life. I don't care for death very much. I like life. And the Christmas time, I like the evergreen trees. Amen. They're evergreen. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is like the cedars of Lebanon, evergreen and always present. And thank the Lord for that. All the different sayings that go around. And even on the opposite side, there are those people who got to go overboard the other way. There are some who make it a pulpit through this time of the year to just kind of bash all the other things that people do during Christmas time. And even some people say that Christians shouldn't celebrate the birth of Christ. They say it's a pagan worship. It's all tied to a pagan religion and so on. But I'll tell you right now, when I read this passage of Scripture, once again, I noticed this about it. The Bible said when the angels came, the Bible said that they said this to those shepherds, that there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And thank God for that. And it says in verse 13, and suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heaven hosts praising God and saying, boy, they were praising God for the coming of the Lord. And if an angel can praise him and they can't be redeemed, thank God I ought to praise that he's come too. Don't you think so? I'm thankful that he came. I'm thankful for Bethlehem. I'm thankful for that cradle, for that manger that he was laid in. I'm thankful he was born. And then it says in the verse number 20 down here, it says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd seen. They were celebrating the birth of the Lord. So I'm going to celebrate his birth. And I think you ought to. And then I got to thinking, I got to looking through the Bible and looking at these narratives once again about people who celebrated his birth. And I want you to look with me, please, this morning in Luke chapter number 1. You're here in Luke, but just look over to verse number 68. Did you know that the first announcement of the birth of the Lord was not to Mary? It was not to Joseph. It was to Zacharias. It was to a priest in the temple. There are Old Testament prophecies, to be sure. But the first one that happened during this time span of our coming of our Lord was to a priest inside the temple. Now, tonight I'll make more reference to that and say some things about that. But I want to call your attention now to verse number 68. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on celebrating his birth, celebrating the birth of our Lord. And look at it, verse number 68. Here, listen to what Zacharias said. He's the priest. And notice, let me read verse 67. His father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, now, whatever he's doing is not fleshly, it's of the Holy Ghost. And he's talking about the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who have visited and redeemed his people. Now, Zacharias celebrated the fact of this, that he's come to visit his people. Thank God. Do you understand what he's talking about? Zacharias is a priest. He's been going through all the ritualistic worship of the Jews along with the other priests that were involved. And they've done this for some length of time. Matter of fact, from the book of Malachi to this passage of scripture is approximately 400 years. In Bible study terms, it's called the silent years. There's not been a prophet. There's not been a manifestation of an angel, anything that's recorded anywhere in the Bible during that 400-year period. From the book of Malachi to now, God seems to have been silent. But now, God the Holy Ghost and sent an angel to announce to Zacharias what was fixing to happen. And you know what? He was rejoicing that God had visited his people. And when I celebrate the birth of the Lord, I'm celebrating this one truth, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank God he came to us. Thank God he came to visit with us. Now, when I use the word visit, and you think about the word visit, I think about folk who come for just a short period of time and then leave, and they don't stay very long. But God had come to the aid of his people, as he makes mention here. God came to visit them. God came to do something for them. And thank the Lord, Christmas reminds me that he came to me. Amen. He came to me. He came to visit me. He came to me. And there was a time several years ago up on a little dirt road up in Halifax County in my mama and daddy's front yard when the Holy Ghost of God sent a preacher by and an evangelist by, and the Spirit of the living God came to visit at my mama's house and on old metal glider, and I asked the Lord to come into my heart. I'm glad for the men of God who came, but they're not the big visitor that showed up that day. The one that visited my house that day was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And when a little old boy from a cotton mill town in North Carolina said, Lord, I'm lost and I need to be saved. Thank God he came not to visit, but he came to stay. Amen. Praise God. He moved in and he had never left me. He's with me all the time. If he's with you today, say amen. Thank God. You know what Christmas reminds me of? That he came down. He came down and visited a man. And thank God he is Emmanuel, God with us. Zacharias celebrated his visit. But notice a little further, if you will, please, in Luke chapter number 2, where I've just read to you, in verse number 20. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, what was it that they heard and what was it that they saw? Look back over at verse number 11. And listen to the announcement again. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They were celebrating the fact that he not only came to visit, but he was the Savior. Thank God. I had a preacher friend down in Florida, Brother Mike Park. He's still my preacher friend. And he and I used to fish together. And we had another friend over in the edge of Alabama. His name was Brother Hatchell. And Brother Hatchell was a good brother. And he loved the Lord. But every now and then he called Brother Mike. And he said, I'm going to come visit with you and I want to go fishing. And Brother Mike told me on one occasion, he said, I love Brother Hatchell. He comes over to go fishing. He said, but when he comes to go fishing, he don't bring nothing but the want to. He said, I have to provide him all the rod and reels and all the bait and feed him and give him the vainas and Coca-Colas and everything else. All he brings is the want to. And it's a good thing for folk to visit you. But thank God when they bring something this special. And the shepherds rejoicing that not only did he come to visit, but he came to be the Savior. Hey, listen, those shepherds out there, they've told us something. Now, I shared this with you. Brother Tom Robertson shared it with us. These shepherds were not just any shepherds. These were shepherds in the city of David in Bethlehem. They were unique shepherds. These shepherds were called Levitical shepherds. It was their job to watch over the flocks that were going to be used for sacrifice in the temple. And they watched carefully every night, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And they were looking for those perfect lambs for sacrifice. And the Lord God spoke to them out of heaven. And he said, there's born unto you in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know what he's saying? He's saying he's the Savior. He's the perfect sacrifice. The lamb, that perfect lamb you've been looking for, that one that you've been coddling, that one that you've not let touch the ground, that perfect lamb for perfect sacrifice is laying in a manger over in Bethlehem, and his name is Christ the Lord. And thank God, I am glad that I had a Savior. Now listen. Notice, he said, there's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the only Savior. Bible said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is a way to be saved, though. It's through Jesus Christ. And they were rejoicing. And so when I think about Christmas, I celebrate his visiting me, but I celebrate the fact that he came to bring something to me. He came to be a sacrifice for my sin. He came to be my Savior, to forgive me of all my sin and give me everlasting life. And thank God for that. At Christmas time, let's celebrate the fact that he visited, but celebrate the fact that he's a Savior as well. Look back in the book of Matthew, if you will, please. In Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 11, somebody else celebrates his birth. And here it is. It's these wise men who come. Barry pointed out to us last Saturday that they come to the house. Jesus is a little older, somewhere between a birth and 2 years old. Of course, we understand that. But they came. And notice chapter number 2. And it says this, if you will, please, in verse number 11. It said this, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are gifts of a king. And if you will, look back at verse number 2. And they came and they said this, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They celebrated the fact, my dear friend, that this little babe in that manger and that house at that particular time was the king. Thank God I celebrate his kingship. Jesus Christ, born a king. He's king. He's a son of David. And he's king of kings and lord of lords. I thank God people look at a little baby and they wonder what they'll turn out like. You know, I've often thought about that. I wonder what made the difference in the life of Hitler to make him what he was. Because when he was born just like a little baby, like your little babies. And then there are some who were born and they turned out to be Brother Billy Graham. What was the difference? Was it just God's plan and providence? Or was it some intervention of other people? I don't know. But I know this. God had a purpose for this little baby. He was born laid in a manger. He was visiting, God visiting us, clothed in human flesh. And he came, the Lord Jesus Christ came as a Savior, but he was a king. Thank God he was a king that came. I've been watching a little bit. Y'all may not know this, but Nelson Mandela died. Did y'all know that? But anyhow, I don't mean to say, I shouldn't have said that, but anyhow, the dear man was laid to rest early this morning. But you know, everything appears he was a good man. And I thought about that in his little village, there were thousands of people gathered, and it was still a private thing, more or less, for the family. And I remember, and when I was traveling several years ago, and I was listening through the radio, running the dial, and I heard on the radio dial something I thought at first was static, and then I realized it was just a great host of people making a noise. And when I listened to it a little more carefully, there was a newsman. And he said, "I'm standing in the courtyard here in the palace in Jordan. King Hussein of Jordan lay in the palace dying." And he said, "I've never seen something like this in all my life." He said, "There's gathered here thousands, maybe millions of his subjects." And he said, "They've come." And he said, "They're not here just mourning." He said, "They're here praying. And they're crying out and offering prayers up for their king. But it's more than that." He said, "They're saying this, 'Take my lungs and give them to my king. Take my heart and give it to my king. Take all of my blood and give it to my king.'" He said, "We're willing to die." He said, "They're saying they're willing to die for their king." He said, "That's the most moving thing I've ever seen, I've ever heard of." And for just a brief moment, I felt the same. I said, "What emotion? What is it that?" And I've seen the same situation in my own life, in my wife's life. You know, we'd be willing to give our life so our children could live, or child could live, or whatever. And that's a moving thing, that a subject would be willing to die for the king. But at that particular moment, the Holy Ghost of God broke another truth on my heart. And he said, "No, there's a far greater story than a subject dying for a king." He said, "It is that the king was willing to die for his subject. The King of Glory came down from heaven, and he who was clothed in majesty and brilliance and holiness took on human flesh, and that king laid in a lowly manger, and he bore all the sins of all the world. And the king of all the ages suffered and bled and died on that cross." And they wrote over the inscription over his head, "King of the Jews, King of the Jews." My dear friend, Jesus Christ, we celebrate his birth, that in that manger was a king, and we celebrate his kingship today. Look over in the book of Luke while you're there, if you will, please, in chapter number 2. Look at verse number 31. And let me read this to you. Here is the man in the temple by the name of Simeon. And Simeon has been there in the temple, and he's been praying and seeking God, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And when they bring in Jesus, here's what he says in verse number 31 of chapter 2, "Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." He celebrated the fact that Jesus Christ was light. Thank God. I'm glad that Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." The light of the world. Thank God for light. Oh, I like the lights at Christmas time. And I remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Did you know that light reveals? Jesus Christ is the light, and he reveals our need. He reveals himself to us. Thank God that he's the light. Did you know that light radiates heat and gives off warmth? And thank God he's the light that lights our soul, but he warms us and tenders our heart to love God and love other people. Thank God for that. Light gives growth and photosynthesis in the plant life and its life. And it draws. In our kitchen, we have different plants and other places, and you have at your house. And you'll watch that growth, that plant leans to the light. It's drawn to the light. It's something God put in that vegetation that knows that that's where its life source is at. And that light of the Lord Jesus Christ is our light source. And listen, here's Simeon, and he's celebrating that he's the light of the world. Thank God. I'm glad I celebrate at Christmas time, and every time I see a light, I think Jesus Christ is the light of the world. You know what? Light not only does all those things, but light directs. David said, "Thy lamp shall be a light unto my path. Lead you." I thank God for the light that reveals and directs and leads and guides. The Lord Jesus Christ, when you get saved, he doesn't leave you by yourself. He's the light of the world. He'll expose dangers, and he'll direct your path, and he'll lead you where you ought to go. People say to me, "Brother Bill, I'd get saved, but I can't live the life." Thank God I can't either. But I'm glad he can. I'm glad he came into my heart. I don't know what I'm supposed to do every day. You don't know what you're supposed to do every day. But he said this, "The steps of a good man are directed to the Lord." In other words, he's the light, and he'll show you day by day, men and women, what you're supposed to do. Every day, he'll lead you as the light of the world. And my dear friend, that light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, Simeon celebrated the fact that he was light. Will you look a little further in your Bible, please, back in the book of Luke, and turn over to chapter number 1. And I want to read to you verse 54. Here I read about Elizabeth, who is the wife of Zacharias. And notice in chapter number 1, Elizabeth's comments beginning at verse number 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And thank God for that. He leaped for joy in her womb. You know what Elizabeth celebrates about Christmas? She celebrates the joy. Good tidings of great joy. I'm glad that Jesus Christ, when you get saved, gives you joy. It's a marvel to me that people are bound with sin, they're involved in sin, and when you talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have all types of misery because of their sin, and they say, "No, I'm having a good time." They know what good time is. Thank God. Listen, God gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He'll give you joy. If you really want to have the joy of Christmas time, you need Jesus. Jesus is joy. And she celebrated the joy. "I'm glad I'm saved." Amen. You glad you're saved? Say amen. You sit around at Christmas time and your family's there, and there's no fussing or cussing or getting drunk and all those things. You just celebrate the birth of the Lord. God's good. You don't have to have any regrets in the morning. You rejoice in that God gave you joy in your heart. You don't have to have things to have joy. You got Jesus in your heart. Most of us got more things than we need. But thank God, listen, Elizabeth celebrated the joy that he brought in her womb, in her room. John the Baptist leaped for joy at the voice of Mary and recognizing the Savior was coming. Thank God for that. Look a little further with me, please, in the Bible. In chapter number 1, look at verse number 54. 54, thank God Zacharias celebrated the visit of the Lord. The shepherds rejoiced in the fact he was Savior. And wise men celebrated him as king. Simeon celebrated him as the light of the world. Elizabeth celebrated the joy that he brings. In verse number 54 of chapter 1, listen to the mother of our Lord. "He hath opened his servant Israel and remembered, and in remembrance of his mercy." Look at verse number 50, if you will, please. "And his mercy is upon them that fear him from generation to generation." And then listen to her words of herself, verse 48. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from hence all generations shall call me blessed." Mary celebrated his mercy, his mercy. It is interesting that one who has been elevated in some circles to deity says, "I'm one of low estate." And she said, "I want to thank him for his mercy. And he is my Savior as well as your Savior." She celebrated his mercy. I want to thank God that that little baby not only represents love and life, but he is mercy. His mercies endure forever. Mercy is only given to those who are guilty. It's a good thing to be some of you who've lived such a good life. But for those of us who've lived sinful lives, I celebrate at Christmas time his mercy. I recognize that God didn't have to send his son. It was mercy. That God didn't have to let his son suffer and bleed and die for me. It was his mercy. He gave mercy to me. Mercy is extended to those who are guilty, those who need saving. And my dear friend, thank God for his mercy. At Christmas, celebrate his mercy. Celebrate the joy he brings. Celebrate the light that he's the light of the world. And he's the king, he's a savior. And celebrate the fact that he came to visit in this estate, he came to stay with us. One last thought this morning of some who celebrated him, and it is Anna. She's a dear elderly lady. For many, many years, she's come to the temple to pray and seek God and fast. And now Jesus shows up on the scene. Notice, if you will please, what it says. She's somewhere around 84 years of age. But she says in chapter number 2 of the book of Luke and verse 38, and she coming in at that instance. Now listen, she's been coming in and out of here for all of these years praying. And she comes in just at the instant that Jesus shows up. And she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake unto him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here is Anna, this dear one who's been coming back and forth for some 80 years now. And now she announces to everybody, here is redemption. He is the Savior. He is our redemption. He's the one who's going to pay the sin debt for us. And thank God for that. Listen, we celebrate at Christmas time his redemption. The thought of redemption is to buy back. And as you go through the book of Romans and you study it in some detail, this word redemption is tied closely to what's called a slave market. And they sold slaves there. And someone would come down into the slave market and they'd pick out the slave they wanted. They'd buy them and take them home. And they become sometime a good taskmaster, sometime a hard taskmaster. But regardless, they owned that person, everything about them. And when Paul began to describe redemption, and in view of what Anna here sees, she celebrated his redemption. And that is this, that he came down into the slave market. He came to where we were. Thank God he came into where we were bound by sin, and he bought us. You had to pay a certain price for that slave. And what did he pay for us? The Bible said he died for us. He died and paid that sin debt for us. He bought us. Holy, body, soul, and spirit, he redeemed us. But there's more to it than that. When those slaves were bought, they were carried in shackles, and they became the slave of the new owner. But the Bible, this idea of redemption, so far as the Bible is concerned, is that of being set free. It's pictured for us in the Old Testament in the offering of two doves. One of those doves was to be killed, and the blood drained from his body, and that dove offered as a sacrifice. And then the other dove was not to be killed. He was to be taken alive and to be dipped into that blood of that other dove and to be released. And he flew away, never to be encaged again. And my dear friend, what Hannah's rejoicing about is that she was that other dove. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, came and suffered and died for us. And when you and I come and we're washed in the blood, he releases us to fly, never be caged again. He sets us free. Thank God for that. I have liberty in Christ. I'm freed from sin. I'm freed from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. And he's released me and set me free. I Christmas time. You ought to celebrate his redemption and what he did for you. All the red you see at Christmas, remember that your redemption was bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate his birth. And the next several days we celebrate his birth because of what he's done for us. Would you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? We celebrate his birth. Oh, Zacharias celebrated the fact that he had visited his people. Shepherds rejoiced and celebrated him as Savior. The wise men celebrated him as a king. Simeon celebrated him as the light of the world. Elizabeth celebrated him because of the joy he brought. Mary celebrated him because of the mercy that he brought. And Hannah celebrated him because of the redemption that he brought. You and I have experienced every one of those things. We have much to celebrate at Christmas time if you know him as your Savior and Lord. He came into his own, and his own received him not. The greatest gift at Christmas time is the gift of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But like any gift that's bought and purchased, it has to be received to be enjoyed. How many of you this morning could say, Brother Billy, I could identify with all those people? I celebrate this morning the birth of our Lord in all those truths. Would you raise your hand? I know I'm saved, and heaven's my home. Thank you. God bless you so much. You may put your hands down. You may be here this morning. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You say, Brother Billy, I wasn't there. I didn't see that. Well, you weren't at Calvary. You didn't see that. But out of all of those experiences, his coming to a manger, his coming to a to the cross, Jesus loved you. He loved you, the Bible said, before the foundation of the world. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Whosoever cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. But it is imperative that you'd come, that you receive him, that you trust him. If you're in this building this morning and you do not know for sure, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. And you say, Brother Billy, I want the joy of Jesus. I want to have the joy of the Lord. I want to experience redemption. I need the light of the world. I need him to set me free from bondage and for my redemption. I want him to be king of my life. If that's your case, would you pray this simple prayer with me this morning, believing in your heart that he loved you and died for you. He came to save sinners. Paul said, I'm chief of sinners. If he'll save me, he'll save anybody. I promise you this morning, if you're here and you acknowledge your sin, he'll save you. If you want to be saved this morning, would you pray this simple prayer in the radio audience, internet audience, and in this building? Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. God, I pray you'd forgive me of all my sin. I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I believe, Lord, that you bore my sin on the cross, that you were buried, you rose again, you're alive now. Lord Jesus, come in my heart and save me right now. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. My dear friends, while we pray, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe it's imperative that you believe, that you receive. And if having done that, you will confess. I'd love to rejoice with you today. The church would love to rejoice with you today. While we're praying, I wonder if there's a person here, a man or woman, boy or girl, who just now, for the very first time, you believed and you called on him and asked him to save you. Would you raise your hand across the congregation that we might rejoice with you? Anybody here this morning? Thank God there were some last Sunday. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will move. I pray, God, that whatever your desire is for the lives of men and women, boys and girls, that, God, they'd be obedient to you. God, I pray in Jesus' name that, God, not one boy or girl, man or woman, leave here lost. I pray, God, they'd all be saved. And, God, I'll thank you. While we're praying this morning, Brother Brad's going to sing a verse of the song. And as he sings this morning, if you're a Christian here this morning, I want you to celebrate his birth. Celebrate and rejoice with in view of what it meant. Not just he was a baby, but he came to visit us. God came to us. He came to where we were. He came as the light of the world. He came as the Savior. He came as a King. He came to bring joy. He came to give mercy. And he came to purchase redemption. Thank God for that. There's a lot of love laying in that manger. A lot of love. I want you to come. Maybe you just need to come pray. We're not going to be long. We're going to celebrate birthdays, anniversaries in a moment. We're going to have prayer, special prayer. But I want you to take a few minutes right now. If you want to just come get around this altar in this busy season, once again, say thank you. And do like the shepherds did, rejoice and thank him and praise him.